Welcome to Budo, the Way of the Warrior podcast. This podcast is a collection of historical and philosophical references, contemplations, lectures, and exchanges with David M. Valadez, his students, and guests. Podcasts are recorded on the mat at the Ascension Center in Southern California and in studio. These podcasts are provided to cultivate the warrior on the way and to add light to their path.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to this episode of our podcast. Some housekeeping matters again before we go on. Please consider subscribing to our Patreon group there. Links will be in the episode notes. And also, please consider purchasing my first book. I'll put a link in the episode notes for that as well. It is titled Budo: Life Within a Warrior Ascetic. We have lots of good reviews on it. If you've already purchased the book, please consider also writing a review on Amazon. Thank you. And if you haven't already, please subscribe to our YouTube channel. There, you'll have lots of content available for free, hours and hours. I think it's over 1,000 hours of video, and a lot of it is separated into playlists, so whatever your interest is, you can find it quite easily there. If joining our Patreon group, which is only $5 a month, or if purchasing the book is outside of your budget or your desire, then you can see a lot of our content for free on our YouTube channel. Thank you. All right, in this episode, what we're going to do is go into the third and most important component of Aikido training, that is the spiritual component. And what I want to do here is just kind of lose ourselves in this, the core basics of what we need to understand when we talk about the spiritual component. So I have no idea where this is going. This might turn out to be one episode. Hopefully it's not 3.5 hours like that last one, but who knows? I'm just going to start talking and we go where we go. First, I'd like to point out that Aikido, the suffix there, do, is what constitutes Aikido as a Budo. And so let's just play with what is Aikido historically or culturally? Well, it's a do art. It is a kind of Budo. What is a do art? What is Budo? The do here, of course, everyone knows the kanji for do is the Japanese pronunciation of the kanji for Tao, the Chinese pronunciation. And we also know that, as we've mentioned many times here, the Tao is a kind of way of being. Some might consider it religious, some might not. Some might draw a distinction between what is religious Taoism and philosophical Taoism. And as I've mentioned before, that division is a modern division. That division is not found in Chinese history prior to modernity and prior to Western influence. But the Tao does constitute a first principle in what I have been calling a technology of self. In some ways, just to keep it simple, there's better ways of being and there's worse ways of being, or to make it more akin to some of the traditions that we might be practicing, it is a kind of wisdom tradition. There's a way of being, you should be that way. And you suffer negative consequences, here not described, when we're not in accordance with the Tao. So Budo is a reference to that. And Budo is a reference to a kind of wisdom tradition. And Aikido is Budo. That's what we're doing here. If you go a little deeper and you look at the history, the religious history of when these Do traditions started up, they started up in China originally, and they're really extensions of the Tao traditions, the Do traditions, these wisdom traditions. they're kind of extensions. It wouldn't be too far a reach to say that these are either extensions into technologies of self expanded to the art, the arts as a technology of self. And it wouldn't be even thereby too far a stretch to say that they're kind of opening the door or are an opening a door of lay movements, meaning we're moving beyond, but we have to understand we're moving concentrically either beyond or outside or another application of these Do traditions, these wisdom traditions, as they were practiced more formally within what we today would call religious institutions. So within temples, within shrines, within hermitages, etc. Towards that end, then, especially because they're in a concentric extension of what was being practiced within the temple, we'll just keep it simple and use that example, to arts, don't get too crazy with that, because a lot of this stuff was actually practiced in temples. So, for example, calligraphy is a Do art, and it was also practiced within temples. Martial arts was a Do art, and it was practiced within temples. But it had the capacity to be practiced outside eventually over time. And that's how we eventually got to something. You fast forward some centuries, and you move across more west in the Silk Road. You're in Japan now at the time of Osensei, and that's how you get Aikido as a cultural possibility. When we look at these Do arts, these Tao arts, these technologies of self, these wisdom traditions, they're on, as already mentioned, on the west end of this Silk Road religious culture. And what is common there when we're going, okay, there is a better way of being, in contrast to lesser better ways of being, and such that I'm considered wise or whatever other ideal that we might give to it. So holy or saint or a master or something like that, something positive, okay? When we look across the whole Silk Road, what is common there and what you're trying to achieve in these Do arts, to simplify it, is the experience of non-identity or the experience of no self. Now, a lot of us moderns might come to understand that phrase from the modern sense of Buddhism, where you have this kind of no self, and Buddhism has de-evolved into this kind of therapeutic psychology. You got to take that off the table. And maybe that's a huge part of this first episode on the spiritual component, is we got to create space from what modernity is telling us is going on. Because in the end, there really is no spiritual component in modern Aikido. And we want to point out where it went, why, what's it being substituted with, and even understand why I would say that, okay? So the idea of no self, understood in a way today through Buddhism as a kind of psychology, a kind of extension of therapy culture, that's not what we're talking about. Because when you get to the chase of it, you do experience something when you lose the experience of the self or the identitarian experience. There, something else is taking place of that absence. Okay, so it's not a nihilism like some of the early Enlightenment thinkers or early modern thinkers in Europe were how they were understanding no self when it was translated to them, when Buddhist discourses were translated for them. It's not a nihilism. There's something that is in there. It's just as more clearly expressed on the west end of the Silk Road. It's beyond description. It's beyond all intellectual understanding. So anything you say about it is incorrect. And we see that again on the East, for example, like in Taoism. The Tao that can be named is not the Tao. You have that sense there. Okay. So again, going back to Aikido, what are we trying to do? We're trying to use a martial art as a means of developing a skill in deconstructing the identitarian experience of the world. And when we do that, we have another experience of the world, okay? The experience, that other experience of the world, in my discourse, I call that the God mind, okay? It's not out of nowhere that I refer to these two different experiences with the word mind. So the identitarian experience is, in my discourse, the ego tripartite mind experience of the world. And then its deconstruction is what I call the God mind. For someone that is trying to understand this philosophically, I think some schools you could look to definitely as a must, it would be the Yogacara school, because they kind of took this to an extreme. What is this? This is the idea that the really real, the real of everything, can never be distinguished from our experience of that thing, and our experience of that thing can never be distinguished from our mind. So a lot of times modern scholars will call Yogacara school, they'll call it idealism. I have shared some books over the years on idealism as a philosophy. It did exist in Europe, and so Europeans and Westerners, they'll know it. There are some scholars that are taking another look at it. Bernardo Katstrup, I think is his name, is someone that you should look into because he's really exposing the holes that us moderns just take for granted in materialism. And the pre-moderns were not oblivious to materialism. It's just their thinking past it into idealism as more of a really real. And Bernardo really gets in there and shows how materialism is just logically just filled with holes that we take for granted. That is important because where we want to go with our Aikido, when we want to rebridge our broken lineage, when we want to rebridge that gap, we are going to have to move away from the materialism within which Aikido now exists and goes unquestioned and even unnoticed for the most part. So these ultimate technologies of self, they do at their core, in terms of their overall epistemology, there is a kind of underlying idealism in there, that the really real is but mind and experience through mind, okay? And hence my two descriptions, like we can have an ego tripartite experience of the world, and we can have a God mind experience of the world. So tying this all together, what we are trying to do in Aikido as a wisdom tradition, as a Do art, is learn how to cease having an ego tripartite experience of the world and how to have a God mind experience of the world. That is using my discourse. Okay. In doing so, as we have aligned ourselves here with the wiser way of being, we can do things that we cannot do when we are aligned with an unwiser or less wise way of being. Okay, this is why these traditions will do things that we moderns aren't really comfortable with. So, for example, actions and behavior is what counts. Words do not count. In fact, words are ultimately going to be suspect. People are going to be suspicious of words in these pre-modern traditions, whereas we're not suspicious of words. We love words. We like to sit down and talk and philosophize. And you can see that in how Aikido is really Aikido's realm right now is in social media, or in the way that classes are more academic, where you're going to sit down and we're going to talk about it, or even in how the virtues of Aikido, such as Aiki or non-contestation or harmony, etc., are really just linguistic markers. They're just analogies or metaphors, and no one's actually doing them. If you look deeper, they're all either yang-yang clashes or fabricated harmonies where uke is choreographed to not conflict with nage. And all of that is only maintained and not exposed for the farce that it is, because we have an overappreciation for language that pre-moderns just did not have. Okay, pre-moderns are looking at who you are and what you are, not what you say, because who you are and what you're doing, right, is revealing of the mind that you are using, and thereby revealing of the experience that you're having of the world. I remember recently, and I've noticed over the years that I've been putting out my information. Remember, I started training in 1984, I think, at the beginning, at the front end of the 80s. Okay, it's been a while, and I've written a lot over those decades, and a lot of stuff, even the recent book, like, I don't remember writing much of this. And before I started putting it into some sort of website, there was tons that I had written in what were news groups and things like that, or even articles that I wrote for various Aikido publications. And so I've noticed that over the decades, there's a lot more people that are mentioning and using phrases that I use. They don't use these phrases. Their teachers don't use these phrases, but they're adopting them. Things like Kokyu projection or Aiki adhesion, technology of self, you know, just those basic kind of things. You're starting to see them more and more. And one of our Patreon community members shared with me, you know, hey, what do you think about what this guy's saying? It sounds a lot like what you're saying. And yeah, because they can borrow the words, right? They'll borrow the words. And it's easy to borrow from a hermit, because no one really follows the hermit, right? Meaning you're not in their federite circles of communication. You don't owe any allegiance to the truth that this came from another thinker, because that thinker is totally irrelevant in your Federite culture. So even the responsible behavior of citing someone else, like, yeah, no, I don't have to do that because he's not a Japanese Shihan or what have you. I don't have to do it. I could just take it, and then I'm going to say it, and no one else ventured into the hermitage, and so they're not going to know that someone else has been saying this for a long time. I can sound like I'm saying it for the first time. So the person shared with me someone that's talking just like me, and they're asking me, what did I think of it? So following the pre-modern technology of self, you don't care what they're saying. You go right to the Aikido. Let me look up this person on video. And all the language was there, but the way they were moving and the structural organization of their training environment is telling you, no, 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 no. Those were just words. Those are just words. This person moves in an entirely contradictory way to the words that they're uttering. Okay. Pre-moderns knew this, and we know this too, but we have so much investment, so much institutional investment in the words that we just don't care anymore, okay? And so people talk, people give their opinions, they never come with videos, their opinions are as valid as somebody who's been training for decades, and somebody who's been training for decades on paper is as valid as somebody who's been doing 4 to 6 hours of training for decades. You know, you kind of have this egalitarian of thought because words are being elevated beyond where they should have been elevated. Pre-moderns focus on the really real, and the really real is the mind and the experience that we have, and the really real thus manifest in behavior and in action. So when we're talking about the spiritual component, we are looking for an action and a behavior of the deconstruction of the ego tripartite mind. When we see that, then we are talking to somebody who knows what they're doing, okay? If we don't see that, then we're wasting our time talking to this person at all. Likewise, if in our own training, we can only talk about this but cannot do it, then we're not training spiritually. Okay, we don't have a spiritual component to our training. What do we have instead? You probably have a language game. That's probably what you have. And or you probably have an institutional inertia, because the whole point of language is to reify the institution. And the whole point of the institution is to govern and to bring a stability to market systems, okay? So this is why for most people that are doing Aikido, they do forms, and the point of those forms is to gain institutional markers, which would be rank and title, which affords them different types of capital, whether it be material capital in the form of money, or whether it be cultural capital, like people adore this person, they want to hang out with this person, or whether it be a social or symbolic capital, like, oh, this is the ideal, you know. I think you can kind of see that, like, for example, in some of the Japanese Shihan who are doing what's clearly an Aikido that is new and fresh, it's modern, it's not really O-sensei's Aikido, it doesn't look like O-sensei's Aikido. As I mentioned recently, it kind of just is driven by an aesthetic, and that aesthetic itself is driven by the front breakfall. So they have a kind of Aikido where they just do setups for the choreographed uke, setups from which to go into the front breakfall. And there's really no kazushi, and there's really no internal aspects or not. You just turn and turn and turn, and the more turns you can put in there before you give uke the setup for the front breakfall, that's recognized now as skill. But if you go deeper and deeper and you go, what do I do with that skill? If that is the skill, what do I do? What do I accomplish with that? And what you ultimately find is those institutional markers and those language games, do you see? So someone will say, oh, this is Aiki. And no, it's, why is that Aiki? You just said it's Aiki, but why is that Aiki? Can you define Aiki? No, I can't. In fact, I don't even believe in it, is what we've realized. Like, as we've talked to, like, for example, if we've heard interviews of Shirakawa's, like, he doesn't really believe in it. He obviously can't do it. And he doesn't think it's practical, even if it is real. I mean, come on. Yet, for most modern Aikido people, that is now the new ideal. Or as I said, you just have these institutional markers. Like, what do I do with this? If this is the height of my wisdom tradition, if this is now the wisest thing I can do, these kind of choreographed setups for the front breakfall, what's it do for me in life? Well, you're going to get rank and title. Okay, but what's rank and title do for me in life? Well, you're gonna make some money, and you're going to get some fame, and it's going to make you feel good. And of course, everybody who lives long enough realizes money and fame isn't all it's cut out to be. And so this isn't really real either. This isn't really the marker of wisdom. It's just what the institution said I should go after. So we have to get to the really real. What's the really real? And I'm going to use this as a way to understand what are we actually working on? Okay, Dave, I get what you said. I get that this the technology of self, of a Do art, and Aikido is a Do art, is that. It is the deconstruction of the ego tripartite mind so that we have a different experience of the world, which you, in your discourse, you call the God-mind experience. Okay. You, however, labeled that as a wiser way of being. Why is it wiser? It's wiser because it's really real. Everything else is delusion. Everything else is construct. Everything else is fabrication. And the fabricated and the constructed cannot support me as an organism. It will eventually fail me. And I will, as mentioned earlier, you will suffer the consequences of having not been in alignment with the Wisdom Course way. An example of how this is stated is we go to the east end of the Silk Road. This is the Buddha's first noble truth. There is suffering. Who's there suffering for? The person that's at number one truth, not the person who's at number four truth. We want to get to the really real. Everything else is a construct. Everything else will cause me to suffer the consequences of not living the Wisdom Course way. So, for example, let's take the rank and the title. Let's take the rank, okay? For a lot of people, rank is real. But when you go a little deeper and you ask, well, is it, what makes it real? And they'll go, well, rank means skill. Okay. And now you look around and you see that skill for that given rank is hugely variable. And some sides of the spectrum, or you would actually call unskilled. So you go, okay, no. Let me see. Rank means number of years. Rank is going to be a political marker of affiliation. Because we are a Federite. And we are in a federation, and what we're trying to note here is a political alignment, not really a skill alignment. So, okay, well, that will explain why somebody that just hangs out long enough is going to get rank. But in that acceptance of that, like, okay, this person's been in our dojo for 20 years, we finally gave them this rank or that rank. And they're stiff and they're weak and they're overweight. And all they do is muscle. And all they do is screw around with the lower ranks because their ego is so triggered by someone who doesn't do the choreography. Right? Does that sound at all like the ideals of the art are being embodied? No. And without a full conscious awareness of it, we went from political alliance or political affiliation, we went to there, and we left skill. And you almost want to go, look, why don't we just make them like officers? Like you're an officer. You're an officer in the dojo versus you have this rank in the dojo. Why don't we do that? Well, that's exactly what you have to do when you're not at the really real, right? So the really real is what rank represents, what rank is supposed to symbolize. So for example, rank is supposed to symbolize skill. The really real is skill. And now you want to go, well, what's the really real of skill? And eventually you're going to have to get to where I just said we went. The dough art is what we're doing. And so the really real of Aikido is that God-mind experience. That's the really real of Aikido. It's not doing Kihon Waza. It's not skill at Kihon Waza. Why would it be skill at Kihon Waza? Why in the world would being able to do Ikkyo under ideal conditions as it's usually practiced in most dojo, let alone within choreographed environments, why in the world would that be real in any sense that it can do something for me that I would call wisdom? The environment itself is fabricated. Under which marker would I say that the uke in this dojo are even markers for excellence? Meaning, if I could do Ikkyo within Dojo A, I'm basically doing Dojo A uke as my marker. But what is it about Dojo A uke that would be a mark of skill? For example, wouldn't it be a higher skill if I could do Ikkyo the same way with highly skilled uke as I can with totally unskilled uke? But ask yourself, how often do you see that? Why does it always look different depending on who the teacher is going with, depending on the skill of the uke? Or if you go, wait a minute, wouldn't skill at Ikkyo be better if I was not so dependent upon the choreographed environment? Wouldn't that be a higher skill? Well, if it is a higher skill, then why aren't we practicing that ever? Why do we take it off the table? In those dojo where Ikkyo itself is the marker of skill, why do we take that off the table? Because we're okay with it not being really real. Everyone is. Everyone is fine in the delusion. Why? Because that's the ego tripartite mind. It abides in delusion, not knowingly, but unknowingly. And in its unknowingness, it's fine. It's perfectly fine. It does not want to know. But the ill effects of not being in alignment with the Wisdom Course way still are happening upon us. That's how they happen. It goes together. We don't feel the illness. We don't feel the suffering. We get eruptions of it, maybe. But even in our efforts to stop the suffering, we don't realize that it's still the ego tripartite mind experience of the world. And so we continue the very mechanisms of suffering. This has been discussed many times here. So if we get to the really real, we're like, what is it if it is not What I'm saying it is, what is spiritual in modern Aikido training? Nothing. It is language based. It is a language game. It is analogy and symbol. And the analogy and the symbol generate a distance between the practitioner and who they are and what they're doing. That distance supports the delusion and the lack of experience, allowing it to go unnoticed and allowing it to be unproblematized. So nobody has a problem with, you just take one Aikido ideal, harmony. Let's just take that one. I don't tend to use harmony, but sure, why not? If you look at it, harmony, what could the word harmony mean in a choreographed training environment? That it would be of value to anywhere outside of that environment. Let's say I'm doing Tai no Henko, right? And my uke, you know, pushes at a certain level of yang aspect value, but no more than I can reconcile with my movement. So meaning if I push back at all with the yang value, they won't knock me over. They'll kind of ease up and then they allow me to turn. But in there, I needed them to not just come in at whatever value they wanted to. I needed them to hold back once they felt my yang-yang clash. They're going to adjust their yang aspect value to meet my yang aspect value, and now we have a harmonious contact. So you take that out at a structural level. Here I am in the world. And this harmonious contact was based upon that which was external to me, catering to me. This is how most Aikido is today. It's like this everywhere. I saw a video recently where a high-ranking person trying to expand upon Chiba's weapon sets, you know, is blocking his neck from a Kesa Uchi, Joe against Joe. Again, there we are blocking, but in real life, I swing Kesa Uchi, I'm going to knock your head off. Your Joe isn't going to stop my block just because it's 4 inches away from, or 3 inches away from your head. It's not. But it will if I decrease the yang aspect to match your inferior yang aspect, you see. And now look out on the world. What is that? What is that? Well, that's what we see in the world today. I will not learn how to be wise. I will not be adaptable. I will not have grit. I will expect the external world to adapt and adjust to me. So structurally, that's what's happening in your choreographed training environment, where all I do is the techniques. I don't do any other practices. There's no four disciplines. There's no bedrock practices. There's no energetic component. I just do techniques like Tai no Henko, Ikkyo, Nikkyo, Sankyo, okay? And I have this idea that, look, I'm practicing the wisdom of harmony, of non-contestation. But my actual training environment is of such a nature that really what I'm practicing is what is marking modernity in the West. It's wokeism. There's an egocentrism that prioritizes the self above everything and expects reality, the environment, the universe to curve towards that egocentricity. And you see this all the time. For example, the visiting Udansha that doesn't have that same culture comes in, pushes hard, overrides the yang conflict, and disturbs the balance and posture of the other Udansha. You're gonna have a total disagreement here. You fucking asshole. And you can see that in the disagreement that you have there, you see the delusion of the training environment itself and its distance from actual harmony. You just see the language of harmony. And this is where you get your Aikido enforcers, like in some dojo, well, they'll do that. Right? Or you get everyone, let's do some drama. Let's generate some drama in the dojo and talk ill about this person. But whatever we do, let us not expose how delusional our own sense of what we're doing truly is, how language-based it truly is, how fabricated it is, how external and sterilized our training environment is to the larger world. Let's talk about safe spaces, right? Make our space safe. You fix you, and then I won't have a problem. This is not the Four Noble Truths. This is not Silk Road culture. This is not a cessation of the ego tripartite mind. This is a manifestation of the ego tripartite mind. As I said, that mind, over time, within each of us, like a virus, usurps more and more and more our experience of the world. And in that, we actually create the one and only true obstacle to the God mind. And now we don't have access to it anymore. That is the modern era. That is Kali Yuga. A majority of the population has lost access to the God mind. A majority of the human population no longer has the skill to deconstruct the ego tripartite mind. That is modernity, that is Kali Yuga, and that is modern Aikido. Now, when the spiritual component is put back into the threefold framework of training, when it is recombined with the energetic component and the martial or the physical component, you can see why modern Aikido does not look like the founder's Aikido. Why practitioners today cannot do what the founder did. Why? It's a simple reason why. Is they do not do what the founder did. They only say what the founder said.
But it's a very simple explanation. If you do not do what the founder did, then you cannot do what the founder did. Why is there a mystery? We should be able to reverse engineer it. You don't do what the founder did. You don't look like you're doing what the founder did. Words are irrelevant, and so I know by default you're not doing what the founder did. Why am I in your lineage? Well, it's the nearest school to me. Well, you know, this is the Federation. This is the person with the rank and the skill. Again, all of that is not real. And because all of that is just a manifestation of the ego tripartite mind, and because the nature of that mind is to spread out over our experience of reality more and more and more, we're taken by it. This is the natural process of these two minds. And this is why throughout Silk Road culture, you will always see that people step out. They step away. They go outside of the institutional frameworks because the institutional frameworks are manifestations of the ego tripartite mind. And ultimately, they restrict access to that mind's own deconstruction. If you look at this as a historian of religion would, if you just look at my discourse, there is absolutely no freaking way that this could have been uttered within any of my former federations. It's not an accident. It's a structural consequence of the two minds functioning. So when we stick that spiritual component back into the trifold training, the internalization of yang aspect at the energetic level is not truly possible from the ego tripartite mind experience. It's not. You get some sort of weird, I don't know, like a fluttering or a hovering. You can accomplish a lot, but only from an ego tripartite mind experience. Meaning, for example, we will be with that ego tripartite mind. We will be looking more for power and contestation and ways of overcoming uke. And we will measure our success of that within movement and within forms or within sparring. But the spiritual component is actually those things are not real. So a lot of people are interested in, for example, even my own deshi, in the Kokyu projection capacity. But why? Because they want the power that they imagine it is. But what is power to them? Power is the overcoming of resistance. But that's not Kokyu. Kokyu is not possible in the overcoming mind. The overcoming mind is going to push back on the energy that's pushing on you. It's going to contest. It can't internalize it. It won't let it pass through you. So you start to resist. You start to push on what's pushing on you, pull what's pulling on you as you try to overcome it. And now your martial aspect has no true non-contestation. It's not what we can sum up as a jiu-jitsu. It's not a Japanese martial art. In Aikido, we like to draw this distinction between jiu-jitsu and Aikido. I think that's bullshit. And obviously, jiu-jitsu has a long history, so I use that word in its modern sense. The grappling, throwing, locking arts of Japan, of the West End of Silk Road culture. So same Chinese arts are the same, where non-contestation is a principal marker. We're faced with yang, yin. Everyone kind of gets that, but they don't realize that the only way you can actually yin is you have to internalize yang. You can't just get out of the way. There's two main reasons for this. One, there's a physical reason. Just like there's a physical component. Physically, you'll always be late. You can't. It's going to push on you. You will always push back on it, which is what we see. You will always push back on it. And if you are lucky, you can now yield. But the initial push is going to disturb you. It's going to slow you. It's going to pin you. That's why I say lucky, because some circumstances have to change so that you're not pinned. So you're not disturbed in your balance or your posture. And the second is that spiritual component. You are experiencing the engagement with your assailant or even your uke as a contest, because you're experiencing it through the ego tripartite mind. And so as they push, you will push. And as they pull, you will pull. You can't stop that. And then that brings up the second thing. You will be affected by it. Again, in modern Aikido, you won't be, because they'll never going to continue with the initial yang value. They start to decrease so that uke now made responsible for the yin and yang harmonization goes ahead and choreographs themselves to not disturb you, not pin you, not take your head off when you try to block your head with this Joe right next to your face. But it's all fake. And it being all fake, it can't expand out beyond the dojo. So if we look at skill, because I said this is a skill, the skill is the skill of deconstructing the ego tripartite mind. If we get a definition for skill, we're going to say skill is the ability to execute a wise or determined to be wise behavior over time, across space, and in the face of challenge to the contrary. That is skill. Everyone gets lucky every once in a while. That's not skill. Anyone can do a particular behavior within environments that contribute towards that behavior. That's not skill. So when my environment inside the dojo is so fabricated, so choreographed, that my harmonization of yin and yang is entirely dependent upon my uke, or even upon me knowing what they're going to do in my idealized training environments,
such that I do not expose to myself the underlying experience of contest that I have via the functioning of my ego tripartite mind, so such that I do not feel my contestation, my push against their push, my pull against their pull, and nor do I experience the negative consequences of it, because Uki is going to tailor their yang values. It's not real, meaning I can't take that outside. I can't do anything with that. It will not exist outside. In fact, as I said, if I understand that whole environment, that whole phenomena, structurally, it's just egocentrism. It's just will to power. I will remain in a contest frame of mind and in a dichotomous experience of the world, and I will generate more yang value to your yang value. And I will rule over you so that you lower your yang value, even if it could be greater than mine. That is what you now are training in. That's what you repeat most often. So that is the skill you're developing. And so now you take that out into the world, and everywhere you take that, all you're going to do is suffer and cause suffering. There's nothing spiritual in it. There is nothing energetic in it. And there is nothing martial in it. There's only delusion.
This concludes this episode of Budo, the Way of the Warrior podcast. For more information, please visit SenshinCenter.com. SenshinCenter.com, or find us at Facebook at Senshin Center and on our YouTube channel at Senshin One. Thank you for listening.